all the running backs, you're going to get a running game as long as the offensive line can stay healthy and actually push some guys off the line of scrimmage. So it's theirs to be had as far as the offensive line.
Sam Bradford, quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, joins us now. What's going on, main man Sam?
What's up, guys?
Mankato done Thursday night, whether it's 8, 12, 15, or zero plays. You've seen a lot during your career. First preseason game, you get fired up at all?
Yeah. You know, obviously I think, it's the first opportunity we have to get out there and play against someone other than our own guys.
Yeah.
It's real football. It's not thud. It's not, two-hand touch. It's let's get out there, feel the pass rush, feel the speed of the game, and, get some work done.
I know your expectations from a team standpoint are high wherever you are. First year in St. Louis, get to Philadelphia, get here, play 15. So when I ask you if you think last year was the best season you've ever had in your career, 3,800 yards, dynamite touchdown to an interception ratio, made all 15 games. Is it possible to say it was your best season when the team finished 8-8?
Kind of like you said, I never really look at it from a personal standpoint. I think it's all about the team. Obviously after the start we had, to finish 8-8 was extremely disappointing. Obviously it's not what we were expecting. It's not, what we believe that we could do. And so, regardless of what any of us did as individuals last year, I think we all realized that there's a lot of work to do. That's what we're trying to do right here in training camp. It's what we did this offseason, to get better so that, we'll be playing in January in the playoffs.
Sweet.
When you went back and watched and evaluated film from the 8-8 season through the wintertime, through the spring, and even now as we get into training camp, what sort of things are you looking to improve on your game?
I think critical situations, just being better third down, finding a way to keep ourselves, keep the offense on the field, give us more chances to score. And then just when we get in the red zone, it's something that we've talked a lot about as a team, going back to OTAs, we spent a lot of time down there, just figuring a way to score touchdowns, not have to settle for 3 points, and just finding a way to get the ball in the end zone. So I think that's really, those two situations are situations that we've worked a lot on, and, hopefully I can be better in those situations and help us score more points.
What'd you do to the head coach on field one about a week ago? I mean, you hit Stephon Diggs back right of the end zone, dropped it in there beautifully.
Yeah.
Celebrated. I'm blocked by a player on the sidelines. The next thing I see is Zimmer's holding his hip like it was broken.
Yeah. Zim's kind of been on me to show a little bit more emotion during camp, and so I thought there was no better way than to go over and kind of tackle him. But, to be honest, I probably hit him a little harder than I was expecting.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to take him to the ground, but that's kind of what happened. And, thankful he's a tough guy and nothing happened.
From an emotional standpoint, you are who you are, man, and you're very physically gifted and very blessed. But you're an elite football mind, so I'm sure you've seen highlights with Brady going up and down his offense and defense, screaming at him to try to give him more, Peyton Manning. Those are the case-in-point examples. If you're not necessarily that guy, how can you lead outside of what you provide with your arm?
I think leadership has so many different styles, and you have to be who you are. If you're fake or, you're trying to be someone who you aren't, then I think guys see right through that, and they won't follow you, and you can't be an effective leader. And, I think just because, I don't go up and down the sidelines screaming at people doesn't mean that I'm not an effective leader. I think we all have our own ways. I think communication is, one of the essential qualities of a good leader, and being able to understand your teammates, being able to understand how you must speak to them, how guys respond to different types of communication, and knowing how to get guys going. And, I think I kind of have my own way of doing that. And I think if you ask the guys, they enjoy it.
On that same point, when you were growing up, either, going through Oklahoma or early in your NFL career, did you look to guys that had similar personality to yours as far as quarterbacks and try to emulate them? If there were, did they ever give you this sort of empowerment where you feel like, yeah, I can be who I am without trying to be rah-rah guy or whatever, because this guy's doing it his way? Was there ever a guy or two that you looked at like that?
Not really. Obviously, I think it's one thing to look at someone and how they play on the field and, try to emulate their game and, try to pick up things from watching tape. But, I think my dad taught me a long time ago just to be me. And I think that's kind of how I've grown up. That's the mindset I've had. I'm going to be me. I'm going to do what I think's best for our team. And, I'm going to try to be the best player and the best leader that I can be. And I'm never going to try to be someone who I'm not.
Hey, last year, third preseason game, Indianapolis. You're with the Eagles. You have a fantastic game. Wake up on a Saturday morning. You're coming to Minnesota. Obviously, it was weird.
Yeah.
And then it's Norv Turner. Then it's not Norv Turner. Then it's Pat Shurmur, with whom you're very familiar. Season finishes 8-8. Now it's full offseason, Sam Bradford, Pat Shurmur. I would imagine you're more comfortable on many levels. When you get to the line, the flexibility you have at the line. So Shurmur puts in the plays, but you have a lot of flexibility there, you know, because of your comfortability, right?
Yeah. You know, I think obviously last year, you know, just kind of being thrown into the fire with Norv's offense and trying to figure it out, you know, I was really – we'd break the huddle, and in my mind, it was just going a million miles an hour, still trying to process what the call was, what the guys were doing, what my read was. And then obviously, you know, the more we got into the year, the more comfortable I got, especially when Pat took over. But I think this year, you know, having been around Pat, having been around the system and kind of knowing where we've taken it, you know, what Pat's put in to this point, you know, I would say it's probably as comfortable as I've ever been. And I think you know, when you're not thinking as much and it's almost reacting, where, you know, you can get to the line and you can understand, like,
yeah,
okay, that's not a good look for this play. Let's either get out of it or the ball's got to go here in order to make the play successful. And, you know, I think that's where my overall comfort in the offense has really grown.
And I ain't trying to make it sound like you're going to get to the line every single play and call the entire game.
Yeah, no, and that's why I think people sometimes don't understand. Like, you don't want to be doing that.
Right.
I mean, we're hoping to break the huddle with the right play called for what we've seen on tape and have an understanding for what they're doing on defense and being able to call a game where, you know, you don't have to go up there and change.
But you've been around the block a lot, man, and you know that there are some people who are insecure in this game. So, therefore, to have an offensive coordinator secure enough to say, Sam, if you see something different, go ahead and by all means do it.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not – I mean, hopefully you do it right 10 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's proven out. It's not going to work that way. You might be wrong, too, but that's all part of the understanding.
Right. And I think that's the greatest thing about Pat. You know, and I've said it all camp, is just the fact that, you know, having been with him in St. Louis, having been with him in Philadelphia, and now here, and just watching – his offense, you know, kind of change over the years. You know, there's, if you look at the offense we have today, you know, there's parts that we did in St. Louis, there's parts that we had in Philadelphia, there's things that, you know, we did well with Norv last year that he's kept in the offense. You know, he's not stuck in his ways. He's not someone who's like, this is my playbook, I've had it for 25 years, and this is the system we're going to run because I know it works. You know, he's constantly looking for ways to make the offense better and constantly looking for new wrinkles. And I think, you know, just having someone like Pat who is open-minded and who is willing to change to find things that will make us better, you know, really helps us.
I'm curious to know from you, and we talk about on the analytics side, as if you look at Norv Turner's offense, you're looking for certain guys that can run deep, you know, take the top off of defense. If you look for West Coast guys, it's guys that can get open in the short area, make the plays after the catch. When you talk about this offense with Shurmur, which is kind of a blend, and like you said, of a lot of different offenses, also with his own touches, what do you think, what sort of attributes do you look for in wide receivers that make them successful in Shurmur's offense, especially this year?
You know, honestly, I think you just need well-rounded wide receivers who can do, you know, a lot of different things, because in this offense, I feel like they are asked to do a lot of different things, just because, you know, there are parts of Norv's offense where, you know, some of the play-action stuff, we need the speed to get down the field, and then, you know, with some of the quick game, some of the option routes, you know, we need kind of the quickness in the slot or even outside to break a guy down in space, and then create after the catch. You know, some of our quick game is kind of viewed as an extension of the run game, where if we can get it to, you know, Diggs or Thielen or Jarius or anyone in space, you know, we might throw it, you know, a couple yards, but now they're one-on-one with a linebacker in space, and if they can make a miss, now we're looking at, you know, what is essentially would be an explosive run if we just handed it off to someone. So I think in this offense, you know, you really need wide receivers who can kind of do a little bit of everything, because they're asked to do a little bit of everything.
You played with Steven Jackson in St. Louis, right, when he was the top of his game.
Mm-hmm.
Is Dalvin Cook in any way like Steven in that he might not be as big, but he catches it and runs it?
Yeah, you know, obviously Jack just physically Ben, I mean, I know you saw him, too. I mean,
he was a beast.
He's just a monster. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone as physically imposing as he was when he lined up back there. But, you know, Jack was probably one of the most well-rounded backs that I ever played with, just for the simple fact that, you know, he could play first through third down. Because he could protect, because he could run, because he could catch, because he could do everything. And, you know, I think if you look at Dalvin and kind of where he's come just, you know, from OTAs or, you know, to now, it's been impressive because I feel like he kind of fits that same mold where, you know, we're comfortable with him on third down there, getting him out in a five-man protection, isolating him on a linebacker. He's shown a great ability to pass protect and blitz pick up. And then obviously his running ability, it's been fun, you know, to watch him run in practice, and it'll be even more fun to watch him Thursday night when it's live, get out
yep.
there.
Got to be patient with your offensive line, right? I mean, your left tackle just got back in pads yesterday, did individual
yeah.
stuff, got a battle for the starting center spot, mm-hmm. Might have a battle for another spot on that. You got to be patient with that whole thing, right?
Yeah. Obviously they're working a bunch of different guys right now there, but, you know, I think if you look back at kind of what we had to do last year, and, you know, guys moving all over the place, guys stepping up when we needed to, you know, I think it's better to kind of move guys around now and get them comfortable with playing other positions and different groups. So that way, if something does happen in the season, you know, it's not the first time that we've changed. But, you know, with that being said, it would be nice to kind of figure out, you know, who's going to be in there, who those five guys are going to be at those five spots, and kind of let them, you know, start working together and kind of get that solidified.
Last one for Sam Bradford's former teammate, Ben Lieber.
Well, I want to ask you something that's really off the Vikings and more just in NFL radar news. Do you take exception or do you agree with Jay Cutler when he says that, hey, I'm a quarterback, I don't have to be in great cardio shape?
If you compare our position to wide receivers and guys who are running who knows how many miles, it's true. I mean, whether or not you want to agree with it or not, I mean, we don't have to be in the same type of shape as those guys. But, you know, you do have to be in shape to play this game. You know, obviously, I think the better shape you're in, the better position you put yourself in, you know, to succeed, especially, you know, when the third and fourth quarter comes along or if a game goes to overtime. You know, it's a terrible feeling, and, you know, you never want to feel like, hey, I'm tired. You know, you want to feel fresh all the time. So I think the better shape you keep yourself in, the better shape you're in. You know, I just think the better you feel on the field on Sundays.
August 27th, fourth preseason game, U.S. Bank Stadium against Jay Cutler and the Miami Dolphins. A game I'd say there's a less than 1% chance in which you'll be playing, which leads me to this. Correct me if I'm wrong here. You're a Toby Keith fan, right?
I am a Toby fan.
Yeah, well, he performs at the Minnesota Great Get-Together, the State Fair, that evening. But you have a fourth preseason game against Miami at home, a game in which you're not going to play.
Oh.
So we won't see that eight on the sidelines at U.S. Bank Stadium, right? You'll be front row Toby Keith, right?
No chance. I will be front row at U.S. Bank Stadium watching the Vikings play.
Because Keenum and I,
possibly playing.
Yeah,
so,
really?
Obviously, yeah, we haven't got that far. But, Toby, concerts are for the offseason. So,
yeah.
You know, once the season starts, none of that stuff, really have time for any of it.
Thanks for the chat.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Sam Bradford, quarterback, Minnesota Vikings, back after this.
Later.